Ladies and gentlemen, you are now locked into the Sailor and Tyler Show here on Real Variety Radio, KRVR International. Now, here are the stars of our show, live from Houston, Texas, Sailor Cooper and Tyler.
Sailor and Tyler on Real Variety Radio,
KRVR. Hello, hello, hello. Real Variety Radio. Good evening. A manic Monday evening, as the Bengals would say it in the 80s. Hopefully everybody has had, honestly, I'm not sure, so good of a week, because last week was a week from hell, as I would describe it. And that's one of the topics me and my right-hand guy on here will be talking about this week, right?
Yes, and this is Tyler, your co-host.
Yeah. Last week, see, we live in Texas. It was a week from hell, because we have the worst winter storm ever with record low temperatures. And so we're going to talk about what we did to survive and what can happen in the future. How we can prepare more in the future, even though weather like this is very rare. And also, after this show, we're going to talk about another significant event that happened last Wednesday, the passing of the legendary American radio show host, Rush Limbaugh.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's get started. What can you say about last week?
Yeah, it was life-changing for many people. And, you know, it's like a once-in-a-century occurrence that occurred. You know, a lot of people kind of thought it was, reminiscent of the movie The Day After Tomorrow. I don't know if you've heard that movie before.
Yeah, that movie's from 2004.
Yeah, have you seen it before?
Yes, I saw it when it first came out.
And, you know, they had a major ice age. They were claiming, oh, the climate change and fossil fuels and stuff were the culprit.
Yeah.
At least that's what they were claiming, but I don't know if I believe all that stuff about global warming like I used to.
I know. Climate change. They only want to scare us, because I learned about global warming in school. You know?
I had to learn about it too.
Yeah.
I even read a book called Weather or something.
When did you read that?
In like 04, I think.
04. Wow.
Yeah, it was in Braille. Yeah, it was in Braille.
Oh, good. Did you read the whole book or just certain volumes of it?
I think I read like the whole, maybe not the whole series, but I think it was a book.
Oh.
And they talked about global warming and smokestacks and how they play a role. You know.
Well,
but you know.
Yeah, I want to say we definitely had, I don't know about you, but I had low temperatures, as low as like 7 to 12 degrees Fahrenheit. That is record low. We've never seen temperatures like that. Normally you see that stuff in areas like Colorado. And there was a massive statewide power outage throughout the state, basically due to high demand and overconsumption, the Texas power grid failed. due to so many people using it. And indeed, because the coldest temperatures on record, the power transmission lines couldn't withstand the cold. And also the electric companies, they claim that they shut the power off intentionally to not affect the grid even more. And they urged all consumers to consume power, as much power as possible, by like not setting your heat so high and turning off appliances you don't need. And also there was a water contamination problem in certain areas where there was a boil notice in effect. That has been lifted. I wasn't affected by it. However, I did lose power in both places. I lost power at my apartment where I am now for about a day. But last week, whenever the storm hit, I was at my grandmother's ranch, and there was no power there for like a day. It went off Monday morning, all the way through early Tuesday morning at 2:30 in the morning, and came back on. Went off again Tuesday night, then went off again Wednesday, which was when I came back here, because we didn't have no water. They shut the water off on purpose so that the pipes wouldn't bust. And of course, I came back here to continue working because I had to miss work because of this storm. I mean, there have been quite a few deaths even in the storm too, and it was crazy. It was crazy. I mean, what was your experience like?
It wasn't bad at all, actually. We only lost power a little bit.
Did you get snow?
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And ice. Yep.
Yeah, well, I got tons of snow, which snow's awesome. It's great, especially during the winter time when I go snow skiing. But
what do you guys?
I would not want this every day. I would not want weather like this every day. I can't handle the cold. The only time I like cold is going snow skiing, and so therefore, honestly, I would prefer a hot summer over what we experienced last week. It was crazy, but I'm glad it's over. I'm glad we're back to normal, and we look forward to the spring and the summer. We will take a quick break, and we will be right back. Yeehaw! My wonderful Real Variety Radio listeners, are there any country music lovers out there? Well, if so, I have some great news for you. You can check out the Country Rotation every day from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central Time, where you will hear the best mix in country music from old to new, like this.
Lock me away.
This.
I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man.
And the newer stuff like this.
I love me like you should want, like you wrote the book one. The kind you find when you don't even love one. Anybody can be good ones, but he's
so there you have it, the country music playlist, every day from 3 to 7 p.m. Central Time on the internet's best variety around, Real Variety Radio, KRVR International. Let's get back. So, what lessons did last week teach you?
to never underestimate the power of nature.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And that just because we live in Texas don't mean nothing.
I mean, you're right. Although things are rare here, you know. It's... Stuff does happen. You know, the power... Nature is powerful, you know. It's so powerful that, say, if a terrible storm comes, be prepared for the worst, which is, it may be your calling to go to heaven, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you're a believer, yeah. That's what I believe.
Yeah. Be prepared to go to heaven.
Yeah. Of course, if you have an opportunity to save your life, do it.
Anything else you want to say?
I think I'm good.
How about, let's move on. Let's talk about how to prevent this in the future. So, I think what needs to happen is although this is very rare, a storm like this, there needs to be like infrastructure upgrades, like a more sophisticated power grid, and even like more pipes, more plumbing. It needs to be protected, like all the other areas like Minnesota and Colorado, in case that way if this ever does happen again, we're prepared for it. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. And I heard that the governor of Texas is demanding answers from one of the power suppliers.
Yeah, but one of the power suppliers, yeah, they're conducting an investigation to see exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah.
That governor is strong, isn't he?
I love Greg Abbott.
Yeah. I'm hoping he can run for president eventually.
Well, maybe. I'm pretty sure he's going to run next year for re-election.
For governor, but what about for U.S. president?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. I know power outages are no fun, aren't they?
No. And we experienced that in the spring during severe weather too sometimes.
Yeah, what examples do you have?
Like in the spring, whenever the power went out?
Yeah.
Well, in 2019, we were affected by a major wind. It was a severe thunderstorm, and we had winds up to 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
And we were without power for almost 3 days.
In 2019?
Yep.
You were?
I was, in May of 2019.
Wow, that didn't happen to me here.
Well, it's because you didn't experience that storm. It was only a local storm.
Yeah, and so did you go anywhere else to survive a power outage?
Nope. We were here.
Did you have water?
We had water, yeah.
Any hot water?
I think so. we just had to get what we could, like, at certain restaurants that were open, like Taco Bueno or whatever, like to eat or just have like Pop-Tarts and
stuff. And those people who can afford it, they should invest in generators.
Oh, yeah.
Because that provides power, and even if a power outage. Now, you have to be careful with them too, because you can poison yourself with carbon monoxide if they're not positioned properly.
I've even talked to my dad about possibly investing in a generator.
Then what did he say?
That he's open to that. And also my aunt has a generator, my dad's sister.
Does her generator power the whole house?
I think it mainly powers like, you know, the TV in the living room and like the, you know, main supply there.
Wow.
Which is good enough.
It's good enough, yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to power the whole house, but, you know, at least if it can power the essentials, that'd be good.
And how does a generator actually power your home anyway?
It's kind of like a car. It has a battery and a gas engine, a propane engine.
Right.
And you hook it up to your electrical wires, and it powers your home.
And I heard that some generators come on automatically whenever the power goes out, and then shuts off whenever the power goes off.
Yes. Yeah. Many generators do it. Yeah.
Do you have a generator at your apartment?
No. And honestly, the power went off today for a brief minute. I was like, what? You know, because I got a text saying that everything was resolved, and the power went off again, but it came right back on, which is good.
Have you thought about investing in a generator?
Well, I can't because I have an apartment. I rent here. And the electricity is like it's tied to the apartment complex.
Your grandma doesn't have a generator?
No, and they should get one. They really should get one because it's critical to their life. Especially my grandfather, who's 100 years old.
Mm-hmm. Or are they going to get a generator?
They might eventually. But because last week it was hard. We couldn't cook anything. We heated beef stew on the fire.
Well, at least y'all could cook on a fire.
Yeah, that was good. But imagine living without power for a week or a year.
Well, you know, back in the day when our country was first founded, there was no one really heard of electricity until Ben Franklin, right? No,
there was, and Thomas Edison was the one who invented the light bulb.
Yep. But it was Benjamin Franklin who discovered the electricity through flying a kite or something in a storm.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it struck it, and it created a some kind of a lightning. What do you call that thing?
Lightning strike.
Well, yeah, but like, you know how you have like lightning deals on your house to protect it?
Yeah.
It grounds the electricity that the lightning hits.
Exactly.
I don't know if Benjamin Franklin actually got struck by lightning or... I don't know. But that's how you discovered it.
Thanks to him, our lives have improved.
Oh, yeah. And he was actually, you know, he was a founding father, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Thomas Paine, I think, was, too, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't think Thomas Edison was that. I think that was in the 1800s when the light bulb was invented.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, anything else you want to talk about over the last week?
Nope.
I'm
good. All right.
Well, I would say let's take another break, and we'll start the second segment of the show. Limbaugh.
Yes.
We'll be right back. And now for this announcement.
This is Herbie Allen inviting you to check out my show every Sunday evening from 8 to 11 Central Standard Time, 6 to 9 Pacific, right here on Real Variety Radio. This is a show that is designed to help you transition from the weekend to the weekday, playing all sorts of music from primarily the 50s through today. In addition to great music, you will also get features such as Compare the Difference, The Gospel Set, Original versus Parody, Original versus Sample, Same Title Different Song, My Weekly Rant, and a whole lot more. You can also check out the show on Facebook by going to fb.me/HerbieAllenShow. That's fb.me/HerbieAllenShow. There, you will find information about upcoming shows as well as permanent Mixcloud links to archives. You can also follow me on my personal Twitter @Herbie_610. Remember, that's every Sunday evening from 8 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6 to 9 Pacific, on Real Variety Radio.
Hello, Real Variety Radio listeners. This is your DJ Sailor.
This is your DJ Tyler.
Did you miss any of the live shows we had during the past week? Well, if so, feel free to listen to the best of Real Variety Radio every morning from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time, where we play many of the past archive shows that we recorded.
And throughout the day, you can listen to all sorts of different genres of music, such as pop, country, etc.
In the meantime, continue to enjoy the best variety on the internet and feel free to listen to the best of Real Variety Radio to get your day started every morning, only on Real Variety Radio. All right, we're back on the Sailor and Tyler show. Only on. Yeah. So, now, time to move on to our next topic of Rush Limbaugh. He was an iconic radio personality. Honestly, I never listened to him that much, but after he died, I looked him up. And he was just an icon. Very conservative. Spoke the truth. And oh, yeah. He was just very famous. Honestly, I'm surprised. His net worth was around $600 million.
Dang it.
Yeah. What can you say about Rush Limbaugh?
Well, he was a great influence. He's start in radio in 1988, actually. Right toward the end of Reagan's administration.
And actually, you know something? He didn't go to college. He only did like 2 semesters and then he just dropped out because talk radio was his passion.
Oh, yeah.
He was a DJ at many radio stations. He got fired from a few jobs, like is expected. You have ups and downs, but he was a great broadcaster. And, you know, how about, let's read about it. Rush Hudson Limbaugh III was born January 12, 1951, and died February 17, 2021. Was an American radio personality, conservative political commentator, author, and television show host. He is best known as the host of his own show, The Rush Limbaugh Show, which was nationally syndicated on AM and FM radio stations. Limbaugh hosted a national television show from 1992 to 1996. He was among the most highly compensated American figures in radio. In 2018, Forbes listed his earnings of $84.5 million a year. In December 2019, Talkers Magazine estimated that Limbaugh's show attracted weekly audience over 2 million listeners to become a most listened to radio show in the United States. Limbaugh also wrote 7 books. His first 2, The Way Things Ought to Be, 1992, and See, I Told You So, 1993, made New York Times bestseller list. Limbaugh became one of the premier voices of the conservative movement in the United States in the 1990s. With the repeal of the FCC Fairness Doctrine, he became known for his bombastic tone and reliance on grievance politics. He was inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame and the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. During the 2020 State of the Union address, President Donald Trump awarded him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Limbaugh expressed controversial viewpoints on race, LGBT, Q, feminism, sexual consent, and climate change. He supported U.S. military interventions in the Middle East. Wow. What do you say to that there?
Oh, that's crazy. And where are you getting this information from? Wikipedia?
Wikipedia, yeah.
I would use Conservapedia.
I'm also on the Rush Limbaugh site as well.
Yeah, Conservapedia is better than Wikipedia. It's basically an alternative to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And then there's Ballotpedia.
Yeah.
If you've heard of that. But yeah, I personally don't know if the war in Iraq is the best.
You what?
I personally don't know if the war in Iraq was the best thing.
I'm sure you talked about that.
Yeah.
So, how about let's play a few minutes of Rush Limbaugh's final show to reminisce. Let's do it.
This is, in fact, the last program of the year for me. And, folks, I want to tell you at the outset here, to me, this is a very important program. I have very much that I want to say to all of you today. And I'm feeling very pressured. Not pressured. I'm feeling stage fright kind of thing. So much I want to say, and I want to say it correctly. I want to convey my feelings. And I want to do it right. I want to do it to the best of my ability. And I have found in circumstances like this that the best thing to do is not to think about it. Don't make it more pressure-packed than it already is. But it's very important. You all are very important. My family is very important to me. I've had a year now to reflect on the things that really matter, a year to reflect on the things that are completely relevant and important to me. And all of you are in that large conglomeration of people and things that are very important to me. I want to go back. Normally, by the way, I wait until the third hour of the program to, as I've always said, that I usually use the Christmas program, such as this one, to engage in my thank yous and my thankfulness for the year, rather than at Thanksgiving. And I don't know why, something about Christmas, my childhood memories of it, the families getting together and the children making it what it was. My feelings of thankfulness always surface. My feelings of great gratitude always surface at the Christmas time of year. And it's no different this year. Now, in January of this year, toward the end of the month, I received a diagnosis. You all know, but there's something I want to say about it. Stage 4, advanced lung cancer, terminal diagnosis. The objective of everybody involved was to extend life for as long as possible, as enjoyably as possible. Now, many of you have been through this. Lots of you have been through this. As individuals, as families. And you know what that means. Medical treatment that is designed to attack the disease as greatly as possible while maintaining a quality of life that makes it worth it. Some people can't deal with the side effects of chemo or other forms of treatment. Well, back in late January when I received this diagnosis, and I was shocked. I was stunned and I was in denial for about a week. I mean, I'm Rush Limbaugh. I'm Mr. Big, the vast right-wing conspiracy. I mean, I'm indestructible. This can't be right. But it was. And what I didn't know at the time that I learned later in the course of the year was that I wasn't expected to be alive today. I wasn't expected to make it to October and then to November and then to December. And yet, here I am. And today, I've got some problems, but I'm feeling pretty good today. God's with me today. God knows how important this program is to me today. And I'm feeling natural in terms of energy, normal in terms of energy, and I'm feeling entirely capable of doing it today. I have been blessed. I mentioned to all of you back in the early days, sometime, I guess, this might have been in February. It was, I think, either during or shortly after I had received the Presidential Medal of Freedom at this year's State of the Union address by President Trump in the House chamber. By the way, something I really hoped that President, he had a marvelous speech last night, 4-minute speech on the COVID relief debacle coming out of the Congress that should be studied in a master's course in communication. It was clear, it was concise, it was well-paced, it was powerful, it was on-brand, and it was classic. It was the kind of speech only an outsider could have made. And I really hoped that Trump would sit down and start ripping up the bill as Pelosi ripped up his speech. You know, when she began to rip up the bill, he began the presentation of the medal to me, seated next to his wife, the First Lady Melania, and I turned my back to her, which is proper. She was the one who actually put the medal around my neck. And I thought it'd been great if Trump would have ripped up that bill, but he didn't. And that's understandable as well. But I remember saying to all of you at that time that I had a little bit of understanding of something that had perplexed me for a lot of my life, and that was Lou Gehrig. Lou Gehrig, the Iron Horse, New York Yankees, set the record for consecutive games played until Cal Ripken came along decades later and broke it. And on the day that Ripken, or the day that Lou Gehrig announced that he had his disease that was forcing him to retire from Major League Baseball, he said to the sold-out Yankee Stadium, "Today I feel like the luckiest man on the face of the earth." And I didn't understand that. I mean, here's a guy who had just been diagnosed with the most terminal of terminal diseases. And I said, this can't be real. You can't really think he's the luckiest guy in the world. This is just something that he's saying because it will play well. I don't mean to be insulting Lou Gehrig. Don't misunderstand. I'm just thinking that how in the world, if you're being honest, can you feel like you're the luckiest man on the face of the earth? Well, when I got my diagnosis and when I began to receive all of the outpouring of love and affection from everywhere in my life, from so many of you in so many ways, and from my family who, man, they have supported me my entire career, even during times it would have been understandable and easy for them to say, "Rush, who? We don't know this guy." But that never happened. I mean, I've been totally supported by virtually everybody in my family. I've been propped up. I have been defended. I've been made to look better than I am. My lovely wife, Catherine, has done so much in that regard. She has done so much with RushLimbaugh.com and with the charitable efforts that we have engaged in, and all of it has been to my benefit. All of it has been for the and yours. It's the benefit of people who are the recipients of our efforts. So many people have put me first in all of this, and I understand now what Lou Gehrig meant, because I certainly feel like that. I feel extremely fortunate and lucky. And because I have outlived the diagnosis, I've been able to receive and hear and process some of the most wonderful, nice, things about me that I might not have ever heard had I not gotten sick. Begin to think how many people who pass away never hear the eulogies, never hear the thank yous. I've been very lucky, folks, and I can't tell you how many ways. When this kind of thing befalls you, it's hard not to become self-focused. It's hard to not just think of yourself, and it's hard to think that everybody's going to drop what they're doing and deal with me, with you. You have to guard against that, because this is, to the family, this is as disrupting, it's as upsetting as it is to me, and in some cases even more so. So you can't, I can't, be self-absorbed about it. When that is the tendency, when you are told that you've got a due date, you have an expiration date. A lot of people never get told that, and so they don't face life this way. This is not a complaint. I'm simply, this is why I say it, so much I want to say today, and so much I want to say well, so much I want to say exactly as I'm feeling it. Because my point in all of this today is gratitude. My point in everything today that I share with you about this is to say thanks and to tell everybody involved how much I love you from the bottom of a sizable and growing and still beating heart. And there's room for much more. All because I've learned what love really is during this. You know, I have a philosophy. There's good that happens in everything. It may not reveal itself immediately. And even in the most dire circumstances, if you just wait, if you just remain open to things, the good in it will reveal itself. And that has happened to me as well in countless, countless ways. You know, I mentioned Catherine. Don't misunderstand. She's done much more than just redesign a website and shepherd the rushlimbaugh.com store. She shepherded the charitable efforts, the Betsy Ross, Stand Up for Betsy Ross. That amount of money we generated for the Tunnel to Towers organization, just incredible stuff. And it was all done for me. Well, and the beneficiaries of the church, it was all done for me. All of this was done for me. So many people have done things this year for me. And it's not embarrassing. It's just gratifying, and it has helped me to see so much, so clearly, about the goodness of people and their decency. And it's confirmed so much of my instinctive beliefs about people. For example, the alleged president-elect, Joe Biden, holiday message. Our darkest days are ahead of us. Well, for some of us, that's absolutely true. But folks, I have to tell you, if I were president-elect of the country, it's the last thing I would say. And even if I believed it, I doubt that I would put it this way. But I don't believe this anyway. Darkest days are ahead of us. What a bleak way of looking at things. This is during a press briefing yesterday. I said the worst is yet to come in the fight against the coronavirus pandemic. Which is weird, given that Biden has repeatedly claimed that it's Trump who's killing Americans with COVID. So Trump's going to be gone soon, so why are our darkest days ahead of us when Trump is leaving, if Trump's responsible for all of this? But my point is, yeah, the virus is what it is, but we adapt. I talked about this yesterday. We Americans have adapted to our problems. We've adapted to changing evolutionary things in our lives, in our country, because of our freedom. Our freedom has allowed our adaptability. If disaster is coming our way, we don't just sit there and endure it. We come up with ways to avoid it, to beat it back, to overcome it, but we don't just sit there and accept it. And as such, we don't just resign ourselves to the fact that we're living in the darkest days, because we, at least to this point, still have the greatest degree of freedom of any people on Earth. Now, it's under assault and under attack, and we all know this. But I don't believe our darkest days are ahead of us. I never have. Like people have been asking, you've always told us it'd be time to panic. It's never time to panic, folks. It's never, ever going to be time to give up on our country. It'll never be time to give up on the United States. It'll never be time to give up on yourself. Trust me. So we're going to do a real program today. And in the process of the real program, I'm going to be sharing the thoughts I want to share with you today. I'm going to just do it at random whenever it hits me, whenever I feel it. I got to take a break right now. I'm a little long here. We'll be back. We will continue. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you for being part of this audience for 30 years, 32, whatever it is. It's just mind-boggling.
Oh, wow. That was astounding. I'm proud of Russia's attitude during his final months, his final days, his final hours. He showed nothing but gratitude, but just grateful to be alive. And just, he just accepted things. Well, he didn't at first, but he did accept things head on. I mean, he was in denial of the stage 4 lung cancer. But after all the support that he got, he just accepted it. And he was just so thankful to be alive and just cherish every final moment. And just, oh, yeah. As you said, thankful to have a beating heart. And it was great. What are your thoughts?
Well, I noticed that whenever he spoke, he didn't sound like he had lung cancer.
No, at all. Not at all. He sounded so, so, so healthy. So healthy.
I mean, he sounded just normal, like he always is.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. Wow.
I don't know either. Wow. I think it's because of the resilience he had.
He had so much resilience. Yeah. And he did.
So did my mom.
He said the darkest days. He said Joe Biden, the alleged back then president-elect Joe Biden. He said the darkest days are ahead, but he didn't accept it. He said times are dark right now, but we're just gonna deal with it. The United States will never give up. What he implied was Joe Biden wanted to give up. Am I right?
Oh yeah. Well, what Joe Biden should have said is, "Our best days are ahead."
And he did mean the worst days are ahead, as far as the COVID-19 pandemic, which is understood. It's understandable, but you gotta say the best days, as far as like the vaccine. The vaccines are rolling out.
Oh yeah.
The cases are declining. They're going down. They're plummeting.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
I think the pandemic is about to end. I think it's coming to an end.
Really?
I think it's coming.
How can you tell?
I just feel that perhaps the end of the pandemic is coming. It may not be this year, but it'll probably be next year.
So let's read some more details about early life. Okay. Limbaugh was born on January 12, 1951 in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, to parents Rush Hudson Limbaugh II and Mildred Carolyn. His mother
was from Searcy, Arkansas. The name Rush was chosen for his grandfather to honor the maiden name of a family member, Edna Rush. Limbaugh was partly of German ancestry. The family includes many lawyers, including his grandfather, father and brother, his uncle, Stephen Limbaugh Sr., was a federal judge in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri. His cousin, Stephen Limbaugh Jr., was a judge in the same court appointed by George W. Bush. Limbaugh's grandfather, Rush Limbaugh Sr., was a Missouri prosecutor, judge, special commissioner, and member of the Missouri House of Representatives. In the 1930s, a longtime president of the Missouri Historical Society. In 1969, Limbaugh graduated from Cape Girardeau Central High School. He played football. During this time, at age 16, he worked his first radio job at KGMO, a local radio station in Cape Girardeau. He used the airname Rusty Sharp, having found Sharp in a telephone. Limbaugh later cited Chicago DJ Larry Lujack as a major influence on him, the only person I ever copied, because of his parents' desire to see him attend college. Just because his parents wanted to go to college, he enrolled at Southeast Missouri State University, but dropped out after two semesters. According to his mother, he flunked everything. He just didn't seem interested in anything except radio. Biographer Zev Chaffetz believes that a large part of Limbaugh's life was dedicated to gaining his father's respect and approval. Wow. So, he followed his heart! He followed his heart!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's read about his final moments. Rush Limbaugh described himself as being 100% totally deaf. In 2001, Limbaugh announced that he lost most of his ability to hear. I cannot hear the television, music. I'm for all practical purposes deaf, and it's happened in 3 months. He said the condition was not genetic. On December 19, 2001, doctors at the clinic in Los Angeles were able to successfully restore a measure of his hearing through cochlear implants. Limbaugh received a bionic ear. When questioned whether Limbaugh's sudden hearing loss was caused to his addiction to opioids, his doctor, Jennifer, said that it was possible, but no way to know for sure without performing tests that would destroy Limbaugh's hearing completely. In 2005, Limbaugh was forced to undergo tuning due to an eye twitch and apparent side effects of cochlear implants. On December 30th, 2009, while vacationing in Honolulu, Hawaii, Limbaugh was admitted to Queens Medical Center with intense chest pain. His doctors attributed the pain to angina pectoris. On April 8, 2014, on his radio program, Limbaugh announced his decision to go bilateral. I'm going to get an implant on the right side, he said. After bilateral tuning, there was 100% improvement. From coming from total deafness, it is miraculous. How can you believe in God? That's what he said on his national daily broadcast. Yeah, God provides miracles. Limbaugh, a former cigarette smoker, was diagnosed with advanced lung cancer on January 20th, 2020, after first experiencing shortness of breath on January 12th. He announced the diagnosis on air during his radio show on February 3rd, conceding that he would miss airtime to undergo treatment. He stated that he planned to continue the program as normally and competently as he could. On October 20th, 2020, Limbaugh announced that treatment had been ineffectual in containing the cancer and that his diagnosis was terminal and that he had been given a time frame on when he should expect to die. In his final broadcast, which we listened to, he said, quote, "I wasn't expected to make it to October, November, into December, and yet here I am." Yes, indeed. Today, got some problems, but I'm feeling pretty good today. Limbaugh died on February 17th, 2021, at the age of 70. According to his wife, Catherine Rogers Limbaugh, his death attributed to the complications of his lung cancer. It's incredible. He has a positive, powerful attitude. Right?
Yep.
Well, enough reading for now. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Rush Limbaugh.
Broadcasting across the galaxy, this is Real Variety Radio, KRVR International, the best variety on the internet, KRVR International.
Okay, we're back with more on Rush Limbaugh. Okay, so we're going to play Emotional Rush Limbaugh. Thanks, listeners, and final broadcast of 2021. Let's check it out.
Welcome back this Christmas Eve. In his final show of the year, radio great Rush Limbaugh had a message for his listeners that had nothing to do with politics.
My point in all of this today is gratitude. My point in everything today that I share with you about this is to say thanks and to tell everybody involved how much I love you from the bottom of a sizable and growing and still beating heart. I wasn't expected to be alive today. You have an expiration date. A lot of people never get told that, and so they don't face life this way. I've learned what love really is during this.
Yes, indeed. He's very thankful. So, how about we play another documentary?
Okay.
This is the 1991 60 Minutes interview.
60 Minutes Rewind.
If Walter Cronkite has been called the most trusted man in America, Rush Limbaugh has been called the most dangerous. And he's proud of it. On 400 radio stations nationwide, more than 7 million listeners a week hear Limbaugh lambasting liberals, railing against the homeless, beating up on feminists, gays, and those he calls peaceniks and environmental wackos. Unhappily, his critics say he's proof that bigotry sells. As you're about to see and hear, Rush Limbaugh is too big to ignore.
Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh Program, a program exclusively designed for rich conservatives and right-minded Republicans and those who want to be either or both.
With a torso as big as his voice, this 300-pounder from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, has fashioned a blend of political satire and commentary into the most successful radio talk show in the country. You can hear him 3 hours every afternoon, virtually anywhere in America.
The views expressed by the host on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, nor sponsors of this station, but they ought to be.
And what are those views? Well, listen, it won't take you long to figure them out. We'll give you some help. When you hear the music Up, Up, and Away and My Beautiful Balloon, that means it's time for a condom update.
The New York City school system won a close vote recently to distribute condoms on request to any high school student in the school system who wants one. The budgets are so tight, they may have to cut 18,000 teachers. The message is that it is more important to give students condoms in New York City than it is to give them teachers.
Who is this guy and where did he come from? Well, he's a twice-divorced college dropout and failed disc jockey who is waging what he calls cultural warfare, skewering liberal sacred cows, environmentalists, feminists, militant gays, and animal rights activists
often with their own material, called from the 8 newspapers he reads every day.
Have we got fun in store for you today?
The latest news from the Animal Rights Front is introduced with Andy Williams singing Born Free, mixed with gunfire, explosions, and animal cries. The feminist update begins with Born to Be a Woman. Limbaugh doesn't like feminists much, calls their leaders feminazis. By now, you're either laughing or fuming. And to Rush Limbaugh, it doesn't make that much difference.
People have called you a sexist.
Right.
People have called you a homophobe.
Right.
Are you?
Oh, of course not. I'm none of those things. I am simply someone who views events in life and comments on them. I have my own version of what's right and wrong.
You've also been called arrogant and pompous.
Well, I call it confidence.
And for now, he can afford to be cocky. Oracle or opportunist, he is part of the American commerce, bringing listeners back to AM radio. In New Orleans, when WWL started carrying his show, the station jumped from number 7 in the ratings to number 1. Johnny Andrews is the station manager.
In the past 25, 30 years in radio, I can only think of a handful of national radio personalities who have made an impact on local radio stations. Paul Harvey, of course. Charles Osgood. And now in the 90s, here's this guy, Rush Limbaugh.
I'm sad that Billy Carter's no longer. He's a great character, and he was a nice guy. And if he were still around, we'd be the dream Democrat ticket. The dream ticket. Ted Kennedy and Billy Carter.
Right.
And the slogan would be, "You drink, I'll drive."
Where are you calling from, Steve?
He takes a few phone calls, usually from like-minded listeners.
Mary in Plattsburgh, New York. Hi, and welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program.
Hi, Rush. How are you doing?
People calling his New York studio on cellular phones get priority treatment because, he says, they must be rich. It's his talk show, and he's the talker. No guests. He says he doesn't need them.
I don't defer to the experts. I am the expert. Of course, when I stop being one, zoom.
5 years ago, he was hanging on in Sacramento. Today, he's traveling by limousine, demanding $15,000 for a personal appearance.
Let's give a warm New Orleans welcome to America's leading radio talk show personality, Rush Limbaugh.
In New Orleans last spring, 6,000 fans paid $20 apiece to listen to stories like this one, about a men's club in San Francisco that was forced to admit women who then demanded their own exercise room.
Then said, fine, we'll be glad to give you your own exercise room. In fact, we'll even put the first 3 pieces of exercise equipment in there for you. They put in there a washing machine, an ironing board, vacuum cleaner. True story.
The story got a lot of applause, but not everyone's cheering. Attorney Gloria Allred, one of the country's most prominent feminists, says Limbaugh would get big applause at a Nazi rally.
I'll bet you they didn't see the humor in it at all, because these people don't have any sense of humor.
He is hurting us, and I can't emphasize that enough. He is trying to make us a joke so that we won't be taken seriously, and part of the problem with moving the women's movement forward is the trivialization of the women's movement.
Feminism was established so as to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream society.
That's the type of woman-hating statement that is perpetuated over and over again.
Look, if they get mad at that, that's fine. I'm not doing what I do to make sure nobody gets mad. I can understand how that would ruffle feathers, but it isn't going to stop me.
What are you trying to do with this show?
I'm trying to attract the largest audience I can and hold it for as long as I can so that I can charge advertisers confiscatory advertising rates. This is a business.
You're in it for the money?
Sure. Of course, I'm doing a lot of this for money. But I don't want it to just stop there. I mean, everybody does what they do for the money. If somebody tells you it's not the money, believe me, it's the money.
And speaking of money, Limbaugh will earn about $1 million this year. His Rush to Excellence videotape is expected to sell nearly 50,000 copies. And there are mugs and T-shirts.
Is that Rush is God.
He is so popular with his fans that 1,000 of them filled a cruise ship to tour the Caribbean with him. Hundreds waited for more than an hour just to have their picture taken with him.
I never met anyone I liked that much before, so
It's a good opportunity for me. That's why I'm here.
Mr. and Mrs. Virtue, Rush Limbaugh.
Hi. Virtue. What a name. That could be mine, too.
But a lot of people fail to see that virtue. They say he picks on the vulnerable. His most vocal critics are gays. Limbaugh insists he only criticizes gay politics, not the gay lifestyle.
Yeah.
Really? You decide.
We're just gonna take
he introduces updates about gay Congressman Barney Frank with the song My Boy Lollipop.
Barney called a press conference. Barney admitting that he had had an affair with Stephen Gobe. And he said, quote, I was just trying to help this guy through some problems, but I got suckered. That's what drove me to My Boy Lollipop. My Boy Lollipop. Perfect. It was absolutely perfect. I don't think that that is making fun of the homosexual lifestyle. I really don't. I think it's an ingenious, clever way of doing
making
the
fun
Barney
of the homosexual
Frank.
Lifestyle.
No, it was a Barney Frank update. It was nothing about the gay community.
Barney Frank's news conference is not the first thing that comes to mind when they hear My Boy Lollipop. With the Barney Frank
Whose
update.
Whose mind? The audience?
Right.
What is the first thing that comes to their mind?
That you're making fun of their lifestyle.
Well, I'm not making fun of the lifestyle. I'm not the one engaging in the lifestyle, and I'm not the one who said what Barney said, and I'm not the one doing what Barney said.
Will Williams heads a Rush Limbaugh task force for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
I don't know how more clear it can be.
He says Limbaugh is just the latest in a long line of radio and TV hate mongers.
The overwhelming majority of the American people are not bigots. And when they find out about Rush Limbaugh types, as they did about Martin Downey Jr., and when they found out about Andrew Dice Clay, they step in and such people's careers take a dive.
And you think that's what will happen to Rush Limbaugh?
I think so.
In his dreams.
It's not going to happen.
In his dreams.
The story will continue after this.
Love to listen to him. Wow. So many people hating Rush Limbaugh, very similar to Donald Trump. What can you say about that?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I would consider Rush Limbaugh the Donald Trump of radio.
You know what?
In a way.
You had something on your mind. Honestly, I've never thought it's possible. I've been pessimistic, but I don't need to be. One of Rush's quotes says,
I think this is a dangerous fuzzball.
Just do it. And don't face and the obstacles.
He likes to sell himself. Face the obstacles head on and overcome them.
Head on. He is all the more dangerous. Yeah. Just go. Because he perpetuates many lives. Go for it and just do it.
Kind of like with us, with our business.
And you know.
We can do this.
We can do this.
It may not be easy, and it may take years, but you know what? That's just part of the game.
And that's what Rush did.
That's
and look
right.
at that. He's a millionaire.
Yeah, almost a billionaire. He was not quite a billionaire. But
I said a millionaire. He's $600 million. They said radio is a very hard business. But
yeah.
You can do it. And I believe we can do it.
Absolutely. Just got to keep heading on.
Yeah.
Going ahead.
So, let's play Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Here tonight is a special man, beloved by millions of Americans, who just received a stage 4 advanced cancer diagnosis. This is not good news, but what is good news is that he is the greatest fighter and winner that you will ever meet. Rush Limbaugh, thank you. For your decades of tireless devotion to our country. And Rush, in recognition of all that you have done for our nation, the millions of people a day that you speak to and that you inspire and all of the incredible work that you have done for charity. I am proud to announce tonight that you will be receiving our country's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I will now ask the First Lady of the United States to present you with the honor, please. Rush and Catherine, congratulations. Thank you, Catherine.
Indeed, a big congratulations. And I'm so glad that our then president honored him with the Medal of Freedom, because he did deserve it after his over 30 years, three decades of great service to our country. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too political here, but I'll be honest, if it would have happened this year instead of last year, Joe Biden would not have done that. What would you say?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Because he has a different point of view.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's in the other party. And so it was all meant to be that it happened when it did.
Oh, yeah.
So, anything else you want to talk about the great Rush Limbaugh? Or should we close it out?
I would just say he was pretty inspirational, and that was Mark Levin's best friend. Mark Levin's another icon that I really like.
Yeah, I know you like him. You do listen to him quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean... Yeah.
Without Rush Limbaugh, we wouldn't have talk radio, actually.
Wow.
Like, the way we do now. I mean, no. We may have had talk radio, but maybe not in the way in which it is now.
Honestly, something has been very heavy. Well, while prepping for this show, something has been very heavy on my heart this morning. It was very heavy on my heart as I was working. I'm questioning, am I doing the right thing now? I would like to get like Rush Limbaugh, because I've been pessimistic at times. But if he can do it, I can do it. You can do it. Hobie can do it. Anyone can do it.
Of course.
and I want to really achieve the potential, the greatest potential.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've come so far. I'm not going to lie. Briefly, because this show is also on my station as well. We started this podcast almost 3 years ago.
It was in the summer of 2018, actually, whenever yes. I was initially a guest on your broadcast on, it was called Right Eye Radio.
Yes,
and
it was on
Spreaker at the time. And I constantly was a guest contributor. And then I decided, hey, why don't I just join your team?
Yeah.
And I think it was in like July of 2018, like close to the end of July or early August of 2018.
Yes, it was.
Something along and those lines.
How the way Right Eye Radio started was I did a broadcast apprenticeship with a guy named Nick Russo at KILT-FM Houston, Houston's New Country 100.3 The Bull. Mm-hmm. And it was a good experience.
Yeah. What made you even consider going into an internship? What even started it?
It's something I really wanted to do for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
Broadcasters mentoring group.
How did you find this group? How did you even find Nick Russo, like even meet him or any of that?
Believe it or not, my career guidance instructor, Chris Cole, found it for me.
Really?
Because
Did you have Jay Dan?
He found it for me and I wanted to do it for 7 years. And so I finally got to do it. I enjoyed it. I do have one regret about it, and that was it was on me. Like, I feel like I didn't have as much enthusiasm and energy because, honestly, like Rush Limbaugh, everybody who goes through challenges in life, I was going through some challenges in life, too. I wasn't in the best mental state. I was having not some, like, chronic depression, but like normal depression. Mm-hmm. And I think it had a lot to do with, I was in my 20s. I mean, this doesn't pertain to everyone, but like I was just young. I was lost in life. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Plus, I didn't have a job back then. I don't know what I was going through, but I did feel like more sad than normal, and therefore I didn't like put as much energy into it. But I'll say this now, I'm totally the opposite. I've been totally the opposite since summer of 2018. I have never been more ambitious than ever before.
Oh yeah.
So we continued Right Eye Radio.
Yes, we did.
Switched
for a while.
New platform.
Yeah.
We renamed our station Real Variety Radio. And guess what? We are on 98.6 The Mix Server 2.
Hopefully, we can continue to expand
even more.
Because, like I said, in order to gain listeners, we have to expand beyond what we have.
And to do marketing like that, it can be challenging, but
if
there's a will, there's a way.
Yes. And I also was thinking, hopefully, I don't know when, but maybe in the future we can get an FCC license and we can go on FM and AM radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be amazing to where we could go beyond just the internet?
Yes. Yes.
Because not everyone has it.
Right, exactly. And let me tell you something. I know an FCC license isn't cheap.
Right.
But something happens, like if I win the lottery. No.
Woo, that would be cool. Yeah.
You know.
Or even better.
I need to be grateful for what I have now. We all need to be grateful for what we have.
Of course. Well, you also got to remember there are people or what, like out there who support nonprofits who say, look, if you can give just this amount or this amount to the cause, feel free to do so. Your own heart, not out of an obligation, but out of a pouring of support. That's another way to offset any costs. And now, I don't know how much an FCC license is. It's probably about, I don't know, in the tens of thousands. Yeah. I don't know.
Gosh, because the internet, honestly, it's very cheap compared to that. Like, the minimum is like $25 a month for both the stream hosting and the website. But you're right. I mean, we could easily set up a GoFundMe account. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if that's. I mean, I know GoFundMe is intended to be used for certain purposes, but I don't know if it would be a good idea for this purpose. I mean, I guess if it's our goal really to do this, you know, so be it. Let's do it. And
but we shall see. And like I said, there's other apps you can use other than GoFundMe to get money for the license.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out at some point.
Yeah. But because I know you said this. And I can all agree with it. You know, a 9-to-5 day-to-day job, it's not a bad thing. It's not.
No.
But it's not the only way to have an income.
Exactly. You can write books. You can do poetry. You can do speaking engagements. You can literally do anything you want to do to make money.
Yes, you can.
Just as long as it's legal, of course.
Yes.
Obviously, we don't promote any of the illegal stuff.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I mean, you can, I mean, literally, intellectual, when you write something, you've created intellectual property.
Yes, I have.
And that's your property. It's your private property. That it belongs to you and no one else.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It doesn't belong to any government or any of that.
Yeah, it's yours.
It belongs to you. And that's a private property. Private property doesn't just mean material property.
Yeah.
It can mean production of what we're doing now, which is a form of property and intellectual property, if you think about it. There's all sorts of things. So, yeah, we can literally make money doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you have what's called sponsors, which are people who are willing, like you're willing, like people, companies are willing to advertise on your show.
All right.
But yeah, Rush Limbaugh, man, he was an icon that inspired all of us.
Yes, he was. Yes,
to never give up.
Because
I'm telling you, there's another guy that really inspired me. I didn't necessarily agree with him on everything politically, and his name was John McCain.
Yeah, wow.
He was a war hero.
Yes.
A Vietnam War hero.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. So I'm going to close out.
Okay.
Just close out in prayer. All right. I'll do it. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight to do another show every week to entertain these listeners. Thank you for allowing us to get through last week's challenging winter storm, and we pray for those majorly affected that they recover very quickly. We like to pray for the late Rush Limbaugh, knowing that he is with you now, peacefully, in perfect every way. We want to thank you for instilling in him that he can do anything that he sets his mind to, and Lord, if it's in your will, we pray that you give us the tenacity, the strength, the ability to do whatever we want to pursue.
Absolutely.
We pray that you get us through the rest of this week. We pray for the COVID-19 pandemic. We thank you for the news that we've seen on the cases declining and hospitalizations also declining and plummeting because of the vaccines. We pray that you end this pandemic for good.
Yes.
And that you restore not only the nation, but the world to the way it used to be and stronger than ever before.
Yes.
We thank you for everything, for all the blessings you've given us. Amen.
Amen.
And good night.
Good night, everyone.
Sailor and Tyler on Real Variety Radio. Keep